Lazarus of Bethany was ill. The village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now Mary is going to be the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. And her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. Now the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll be all right. Yeah. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up and quickly went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? And we'll leave it there. The rest of the story told by our frogs so well. Shortest verse in the Bible. John 11:35. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Name of our sermon this morning is Long Live Mortality. I thought that was a clever title. Most of you in this room, not all of you, but most of you in this room, I've had the honor and privilege to be with you in a time of grief, a time of profound loss. Most of you. And I would hope that all of you would take some comfort in the phrase, Jesus wept. Why did he weep? What was it that led John to document this particular time that Jesus shed tears? Was it the only time he ever cried? I tend to doubt that. But it was so important to John that verse stands by itself. Jesus wept. That thought stands alone. Jesus wept. Now we know they were already after his life. He had just come from Jerusalem where they had tried to stone him, and then he went crossing right back through, right back into Judea to minister to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So much so that the disciples were pretty sure this was the end of the line. They were going to get caught, and they were going to be done for. So death was in the air already. Now, at this point, Jesus already knew where he was going, how his ministry was going to end. The other disciples did not. Did not fully understand. So some people say Jesus wept at the thought of his own death. Yeah, I think that's a little too simple. Let's think of who Jesus is and who Jesus claimed to be. He said, before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said of himself. He said he's been with God from the very beginning. So Jesus is eternal. Eternal. And then Jesus the eternal comes down in human flesh. Faulty, leaky, fragile human flesh. And lives that way. And then Jesus, in a time where his death is quick approaching, sees his friends devastated by loss of life. Devastated by the early death of their brother Lazarus. And I think maybe at that moment Jesus felt every inch of his mortality and every bit of the mortality of all these people around him. And I think maybe Jesus wept at the beauty and the impermanence of it all. Maybe Jesus wept at the thought of all the people before who had struggled and grieved, and all the people to come who would struggle and grieve. And maybe Jesus wept for us. And what we had to go through, not knowing really what lay ahead of us, not having a clear picture of eternal life in heaven. Maybe Jesus wept for all of us on this mortal coil. I think that's probably a pretty safe bet. I brought Lazarus back to life. Lazarus would die again. And people would grieve again. They had professional grievers back then. People who were hired to come to your house and howl and fall out. Sounds kind of foreign to us now, but if you think about it, that could be kind of convenient. If you didn't have to carry on, you could just hire someone else to do it. Of course, it didn't work that way. And what Jesus saw when Mary ran to him, and after talking to Martha too, was pure, raw, human grief. Encountering that, he didn't try to explain it away. He didn't. He didn't say, what are you crying about? Even if he stays dead, he's going to heaven. He didn't say, well, I guess the angels needed Lazarus more. No, he cried right along with them. He wept too. He wept at their hurt. He wept at their pain. He wept at their frustration and desperation. He wept at their loneliness. Jesus wept. The single most important verse, perhaps, describing Jesus and his relationship to each of us. That had to hurt. So why do we die? Why do we die? If we have heaven waiting for us, why can't we just be there? Why do we have to go through this thing called life? Well, God is not inefficient, so I got to think there's something about this life here that is of vital importance. An experience or a series of experiences that God has decided we need to go through, that we have to experience. And apparently death too is something we have to go through, we have to experience. Joyce Rupp tells a story. She's a Christian writer and a brilliant one, of a dream she had. She has this dream. She's in a banquet hall, and the tables are filled one end to the other with all this food, tons of food, a veritable feast. And she doesn't recognize any of the food. She doesn't know what any of it is. She's never eaten it before, never smelled it before, never seen it before, except for a big bowl of egg salad. So she goes straight to the egg salad and gives herself a heaping portion because it's the only thing she's familiar with. And she sits down to eat. And she woke up laughing because Joyce Rupp loves almost all foods but can't stand egg salad. And what this told her was her own tendency to stick with stuff she found disgusting and unpalatable just because it was familiar. Isn't that like life? Don't you often find yourself settling? Don't you ever find yourself being less than adventurous? Not trying new things because they're unfamiliar? Maybe not trying at all. Avoiding things that might be messy or hard work or might bring change that you're not sure you can deal with. If Jesus weeps over the prospect of grief, if God has heaven waiting for us but insists that we go through life first, then, my friends, we cannot settle for egg salad. We cannot settle for the bland and the boring and the comfortable. Life only has meaning if it's lived taking chances and reaching higher and imagining more, and living and experiencing it in all its messiness. Jesus wept at the thought of people losing their lives, knowing that there was heaven beyond. Jesus wept at the thought of people stuck deep in their grief, their profound loss. Jesus felt the bottom of that roller coaster of life just like we do. Life is not supposed to be a flat plane, is supposed to be embraced in all its ups and all its downs. We should not unplug from this blessing that we are given by God, this mortal life that we are given, so fragile, it could end at any time. And for many of us, many of our loved ones, it did end too soon, too soon. Long live mortality, and live through mortality. Live life, Jesus tells us. Live it powerfully. Grab hold of it and feel it and know it and explore it and love it. God's promise of heaven is there. God's promise of eternity is there. But obviously there's something here that God means for us to experience. And let's do just that. Jesus wept for us. Let's make Jesus smile for us. Amen.